Just a bit of history about me. My journey into professional history was a little bit of a windy one. I started off teaching history for a few years and then decided that I had had enough of teaching high school students, so went to look for something else and did my master's in public history. And while I was doing that, I did a bit of an internship at William Angliss Institute, just around the corner, and they have this fabulous culinary archive, and I got to work with Jill Adams, who's here. And my mind kind of opened up to this possibility of looking at cookbooks as this new historical resource. Well, I suppose it wasn't new, but it was new for me, and to see this new world, I suppose. And as I was looking through the books and cataloguing them, I came across this recipe, Dolly Varden cake, and it was completely different from what I had imagined, which I'm going to run over tonight, the cake with the doll in the middle and the skirt. And so all these questions started to pop up about how, when had it changed, what was this recipe, why was it so different. And so this is where this was my entry into this world of culinary history. So I hope that's enough for you, and I hope you enjoy. All right, so good evening. Tonight I will be discussing the history and evolution of the Dolly Varden cake by tracing the transformation of Dolly Varden from a Charles Dickens character to the inspiration behind a range of popular culture tributes and dedications, and into the iconic children's cake that she is associated with today. I'll also be exploring changes in processes, ingredients, and baking of the cake in Australia, and looking closely at a modern interpretation of the Dolly Varden image. By using the Dolly Varden cake, inferences can be drawn about contemporary ideas of the feminine, as well as cake decorating as a new form of art and expression, through which cultural and societal issues can be investigated. Art and literature have long been sources of inspiration for popular culture, with many characters from these creative forms inspiring homage, trends, and other kinds of dedications. Popular culture is full of these iconic individuals whose spirit, whimsy, and sense of magic leave indelible imprints upon us. These inspiring characters resonate with us, enthrall and fascinate us, and capture our collective imaginations. We wish to be as brave or as bold or as unique. Their words and descriptions prompt a variety of interpretations and emulations within our popular culture consciousness. Charles Dickens, in particular, was able to imbue many of his characters with relatable humour, experience, and genuine personas, many of which still remain vivid and deeply ingrained in popular culture, carrying with them a range of unique and memorable associations. Think, for example, of the humbug attitude of Ebenezer Scrooge, the unfortunate Oliver Twist, or the tragic figure of Miss Havisham, each so memorable as literary characters, yet reworked and re-represented numerous times in popular culture. Dolly Varden, one of Dickens' lesser-known literary creations, is another of these characters. Dolly Varden first appeared in a serial Dickens began writing in 1840 for his weekly periodical called Master Humphrey's Clock, eventually published in book form in 1842 as Barnaby Rudge, A Tale of the Riots of 80. Barnaby Rudge was Dickens' first historical novel and was full of social commentary, detailing the events of the anti-Catholic riots that occurred in 1780 as witnessed by ordinary Londoners. One observer in this tale was Dolly Varden, the daughter of a locksmith, a pretty, alluring coquette. Dickens describes her as dimpled and fresh and healthful, the very impersonation of good humour and blooming beauty. Dickens portrays Dolly Varden as an innocent outsider, caught up in the madness and destruction of rioting crowds. He uses her story to condemn the mindless mob, which is hell-bent on chaos, and as a way to reflect on societal values that allow such behaviour to occur when events or circumstances become skewed, themes Dickens later revisits. Dickens' descriptions of a character full of fancy and flirtatious confidence almost immediately charmed his readers. Popular artist William Powell Firth was one of those captivated by descriptions of a delightful Dolly, and some of his most renowned pieces painted her in a variety of poses and attitudes. Firth's most famous painting of Dolly Varden, currently on display in the Victoria and Albert Museum in London, was inspired by this vivid description in the novel. Dolly, the very pink and pattern of good looks, in a smart little cherry-coloured mantle, with a hood of the same drawn over her head, and upon the top of that hood, a little straw hat trimmed with cherry-coloured ribbons and worn the merest trifle on one side. Firth's paintings quickly found an audience of admirers. His images of a cheerful Dolly becoming popular enough to instigate a series of replicas and reproductions. Dickens himself became taken with Firth's painting, commissioning him for a smaller laughing Dolly and giving it a place of honour in the dining room of his home at Gadshill Place in Kent. While Firth's fascination with Dolly Varden is thought to have initiated her popularity in London society and inspired other artists to depict images of a lively Dolly in her signature dress and hat, it was not until after Dickens' death in 1869 that Dolly Varden moved from being the subject of portraiture to an established icon in popular culture. By 1871, for instance, the Dolly Varden style was being incorporated into fashion, with magazines like Harper's Bazaar featuring big bustled skirts and bright flowered dresses in their summer collection labelled Dolly Varden costumes, beginning the tradition where all manner of things were named for Dolly, including flowered dress fabrics, a parasol and accompanying straw hat, and wax and paper dolls dressed in her style. Dolly Varden's allure was not confined to British audiences alone, and her image and popularity soon spread across the Atlantic to inspire American fans, who christened a colourful green and pink spotted trout for her and named several towns in North America after her. On both sides of the Atlantic, crowds danced the Dolly Varden quadrille and the Dolly Varden polka in her honour, and in music halls sang along to American composer Alfred Lee's amusingly descriptive celebration of Dolly's virtues. Some of the lyrics are: "Have you seen my little girl? She doesn't wear a bonnet. She's got a monstrous flip-flop hat with cherry blossoms on it. She dresses in bed furniture just like a flower garden. A blowing and a growing, they call it Dolly Varden." Of all dedications, Dolly Varden's most lasting and popular legacy has to be the cake that she inspired. Like the portraits created to celebrate her unique fashion style and flirty nature, American admirers created a cake that played on her colourful and multi-layered dress, transforming the spirit of Dickens' character into a layered cake full of fruit and spice. The Dolly Varden cake made its way into Australian popular culture via American manifestations, with one of the earliest examples found in 1881. Household Hints by American protocol mistress Emma Whitcomb Babcock contained a recipe with two layers of cake and a jam jelly filling in between. Most early variations of the Dolly Varden cake followed the Babcock example, with two or three contrasting layers of either butter or lemon cake with spiced dried fruit cake joined together by jam, icing or vanilla cream filling. Another American version of the cake, a recipe from Mrs. Owen's cookbook and Sensible Household Hints, uses a square cake tin, jelly between the layers and a frosted coating. The recipe has an extensive ingredients list and is divided into two sections, one for each layer of the cake, the light part comprising a butter cake and the dark part containing a cake of fruit and spices, currants, raisins, cloves, cinnamon and nutmeg. There are many variations and substitutions of ingredients for this cake, which quickly and enthusiastically became a part of Australian baking practice. The cake was quite simple, yet allowed for adaptation and the individual flair of the more adventurous baker. The end product was not as elaborate as some American versions in technique or style, yet managed to encapsulate the pretty spicy nature of Dolly Varden herself and allow its baker a quirky showpiece that was a definite conversation starter. Even during the Depression years of the 1930s, the Dolly Varden cake was still enjoyed, despite difficult circumstances when food shortages affected the availability and cost of ingredients. The Presbyterian Women's Missionary Union Cookery Book, published in 1930, contains a recipe that substitutes dripping, which is rendered animal fat similar to lard, for the more expensive and less available butter, and also contains less fruit, spices, milk, fewer eggs than earlier versions of the recipe. Yum. During the next few decades, the recipe continued to evolve, with some elements or discarded, depending on availability of ingredients, changes in taste, and baking practices. The traditional recipe is still around, yet with modern twists, like maraschino cherries, cardamom, citron, walnuts, coconut, all additions. Most modern interpretations also call for a more simple baking process that involves a cake mix. If you can see, the cake down the bottom here is actually a modern Dolly Varden cake. So it's still being made. What is a little unclear is when this cake was adapted into a rounded shape and recipes started calling for use of a pudding tin and then subsequently shaped into a dress that supported a doll, which is the familiar mode of the cake that we know now. This new variation, which still called for a cake of spice and fruit, seems to have appeared simultaneously with the tiered original. One theory that could be supported is the influence of the crinoline lady tradition in both English and American fashion and high tea practices. Crinoline was a stiff dress fabric that was fashionable in the 1830s, adapted from previous fashions worn in the royal courts of pre-revolutionary France. It was adopted into American fashion circles in the 1850s and became associated with high tea tradition. The images of ladies in such lofty dresses enjoying tea and cakes printed on chinaware tea sets. If you have a look at the photo at the top, that's actually from a tea set print. So, and they use the image of crinoline lady to advertise products as well for cakes. So it is interesting to speculate, anyway, whether modern Dolly Varden cakes were adopted from this imagery. This new variation of the cake rose in popularity and in the 40s and 50s became part of birthday cake celebrations with various designs and creations. The picture on the right of Dolly with baskets of flowers and around her is actually a prize-winning entry made by Mrs. Buckley of Pymble, Sydney, who won first prize in the novelty cake section at the St. Ives show in 1952. It remained a bit of a novelty cake until an innovative admirer came up with a lucrative way to harness and market this magic of Dolly. The Dolly Varden cake tin was manufactured in the 1970s, possibly inspired by the popularity of the Barbie doll, successfully able to blend cake and decoration together. This deep mounded cake tin formed the bodice and skirt of Dolly's dress, which could be coloured and iced, and a pretty doll was placed at the centre. In Australia, it is now quite rare to find the recipe outside of a children's birthday cake book. Recipes also began to include instructions to guide the baker through elaborate decorating steps. So you can see that on the side, that's a set of instructions from the 1980s. And then this is a 1973 version of Dolly. Since then, even the name of the cake has evolved further. And although the tin still bears the Dolly Varden name, most cookbooks today that contain the recipe call the result Dolly Cake, Princess Cake, or Fairy Princess Cake. Popular culture also had impact on the design and look of the cake, decoration reflecting changing fashion fads and styles. Early Dolly dolls had Dolls dressed and decorated more subdued and simple styles, and then variations in the 1980s introduced creative elements like marshmallows and sparkly edible embellishments to the design of the dress, even proposing ice cream as a base. By tying the fate of the cake to the cult of the Barbie doll also meant that the cake was affected by changing trends of the doll, and different variations began to emerge. So you can see this is a little bit on, and you can see that one's from the 90s, which Dolly's getting a little bit more fashionable maybe. And then this one here is from 2008, and you can see the difference there. It's much smoother, and the decoration is perhaps a lot more ambitious, and she's called the Fairy Princess Cake now. So they've changed the name completely. A few examples from a current version of Women's Weekly's Kids Party Cakes cookbook also contains Island Girl, complete with lei and faux grass skirt, and Princess Shazza, which personalised the cake for Australian girls. Despite these changes to the cake, Dolly Varden's integration into popular culture still seems to be very strong, and an online search brings up a multitude of blogs and forums discussing childhood reminiscence of the cake and current creative modifications. Every time I mention that I'm doing research on this, I pretty much get the same reaction of, oh, I remember when I was... So, it's very strong. Today, the Dolly Varden cake is more about the decoration than the cake. Cake mixes are recommended as a quick and easy way to make the base, with more emphasis placed on the elaborate decoration of her dress, focused on icing and design, which seems to be part of the cake's current allure, where the baker's skill, time and effort are channeled into making a delicate work of art to be seen and admired as an artistic creation. Most variations of the modern Dolly cake are duplicates of each other, a phantasmagoria of pink, purple and sparkly embellishments encasing a typically blonde doll, intricately designed to enchant little girls of 3 to 6 years old. This combination of doll and fantasy has become almost a gendered stereotype of little girls and their interests. One modern interpretation that challenges this gendered image was an interesting entry in the 2011 Royal Melbourne Show's Art, Crafts and Cookery Pavilion, a reinterpretation of the Dolly Varden cake dedicated to late singer Amy Winehouse. The cake, created collectively by a group of artists known as Hotham Street Ladies, featured Winehouse with her signature beehive hairdo and famous tattoos, a lit cigarette in one hand and an open vodka bottle in the other, with empty bottles scattered around the base. The creators named her Amy Varden, adding a new spin to the capturing classic. In 2010, national ABC arts program Art Nation featured the Hotham Street Ladies talking about their ideas on community, the nature of food, and their desire to challenge constructed notions of taste by using traditional skills to focus on, quote, more relevant and concerning issues. In an email, one of the group's members, Linda Walker, expressed how the Hotham Street Ladies were surprised by the origins of the Dolly Varden cake, choosing the shape as a way to appeal to the judges of the Royal Melbourne Show Pavilion and as a nice contrast to this old style with a contemporary reference that was more our cup of tea. They see their piece not as a tribute or monument to a fallen icon, but instead as a personalised gift to her, both defending her place in our culture as well as recognising her tragic personal circumstances, a deconstructed version of Winehouse represented in cake and icing. This creation also seeks to use cake as a new medium for reflection on and analysis of conventional ideas about femininity. Another quote, "We liked how Amy herself was a bit tough and also referenced bygone days of the 50s. As well as being strong and modern. The Amy Varden cake represents the Dolly Varden cake not as a traditional pretty, delicate cake, but as a meld of reality and exhibition, rebellion and vulnerability, much like the enigma of Amy Winehouse herself." So, In conclusion, Dickens fashioned his character of Dolly Varden as a vivacious innocent caught up in events that threaten the stability of her society, using her to demonstrate how ugly ideas could influence behaviour and incite violence. In the same way, the Hotham Street Ladies utilise Amy Winehouse and her tragic circumstances to reflect on modern ideas and pressures, and harness the Dolly Varden model to contrast old expectations with new realities and challenge perspectives on gendered practices. By tracing the impact of Dolly Varden on popular culture, a long narrative emerges of reinvention and transformation, with every incarnation reshaped to fit the range of historical images of women and femininity that it draws upon. Dolly Varden's place within popular culture has withstood social, cultural, and geographical pressures, survived through food shortages and changing tastes to be remarketed to new generations. I just wanted to show you the new generation. This is Gothic Dolly. Yeah. As her image continues to inspire creative expression and stimulate reflection, we can but wonder what potential reinterpretations of the image and idea of Dolly Varden in the future holds. Thank you.